We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to The Pod is the Roof, the Field of 68's very own UNC basketball podcast. I am your host, Riley Davis, joined as always by my co-host, Jacob Karabatsis. And today we have a very special guest. He's a known character in the UNC Twitter sphere. It's Neil Pierre-Louis, a known, I want to say NC State hater? I don't know if I want to brand you that way. He knows how to get under NC State fans' skin in a very notable, some might even say generational way. So we thought, what better guest to have on? So Neil, for the first time on the Pod is the Roof, welcome, man. How are you doing?
Appreciate it. I'm doing good. I will claim NC State hater. Definitely. I'm down to grab that title.
Well, I will say that the Twitter bio, you label yourself as a hater in general. So maybe, you know, in case we get any NC State fans that hate watch us, I don't know if that's a thing or not. Just know that Neil is he might be finding ops everywhere. It's not just y'all. So don't take it personally. But
the hater originated actually from, I think it was like, I forgot what it was before, but I went to the UConn game. It's just a 2 or 3 hour train ride from Boston, New York City. Mm-hmm. And the moment Cameron Spencer just like amped up the crowd, that's when I was like, oh, I can't. Like this guy, I got a lot to say. So
it's time to fully lean into being a hater. Some are saying 2024 is the year of hatred. Anyway, Neil. Wanted to give you a quick chance just to introduce yourself. Like, who is the man behind this this Twitter account that I think pretty much every UNC fan knows? What's some of your story, your Carolina background, or maybe even share top memory at Carolina too?
Yeah, Riley said, my name's Neil. I just graduated from Carolina in May. I studied computer science, minor in stats, developer with a baseball research and development team here at the Boston Red Sox. Favorite memory at Carolina. Really enough, like, I feel like the Duke one, the Final Four, is such a layup, so I'm actually going to deviate from that. And I'd say when we beat Duke in football away my senior year, so that was the, I forget who caught the touchdown, but
we were, I think it was JJ Jones.
The little toe tap in the end zone. Yeah, that was one of my favorite games. I'm from Durham, so like bar crawling before the game and like just being back home was like super nice, and then enjoying the win. I love being on the road for obvious reasons as a hater, but that was really fun. I've always been a Carolina fan. Both my parents went there as well. Weirdly enough, did not think I was going to go there until I think decision day, and then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I just need to go here. So haven't looked back, and it's definitely, that was an amazing 4 years for sure. And I still obviously am very involved. So yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned being from Durham. I'm currently a Durham resident, love living here. Something that really gets under my skin is when Duke fans do the whole, you know, Bull City, because it's like you're Duke University. You're not the University of Durham. You don't just get to claim Durham. How does that make you feel, a true Durhamite who grew up in the city?
All my friends know how I feel about it. Like, that is the first thing. If you like looked at my tweets in the days of Duke games, you'll just see half my tweets are me, or like why is this kid from New Jersey like doing this? Like, I'm like, look, it's impressive. Like, you go there, whatever. Like, you can't claim the city. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, JK? Does that get under your skin?
I mean, yeah, because it's like they think just because the city's small or smaller that they get to claim it. It's like, bro, you know, UNC Charlotte, for example, fairly big. They don't claim the entire city. They're not walking around crowning themselves. Like, I mean, it's just ridiculous, man. Like, because, you know, I'll bring it back to Boston here. Like, there's a jillion universities in Boston. What are they going to do? Beef and fight to who gets to claim the city? Like, that's not how this works, man. I feel like very few schools can claim their cities. Like, I feel like Clemson can claim Clemson because there's nothing else in Clemson. You know, I feel pretty comfortable saying Georgia can claim Athens because who really cares about Athens? Unless it's in Greece, of course, not trying to hate on my ancestors. But yeah, I mean, it's just too big of a city to be doing that, man. Like, mm-hmm. we got hundreds of thousands of people that have lived or currently live in Durham that do not affiliate with Duke University. So let's not see any more of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to belabor that any longer. I'm glad we're on the same page as that, but I'm not going to pass up a chance to take a dig at Duke on this podcast because we are a UNC podcast. It's what we do. But let's go ahead and talk about the game. We're recording this on Thursday, the day after UNC went into PNC Arena, pulled off a 67-54 victory. Why don't we just go around the horn and say, like, what were some of the main takeaways? So I'll start with you, Neil. What'd you see out of this game?
Yeah, funny enough, this is so uncharacteristic of me. I had to rewatch like most of the first half because I was out and missed about the first 10 minutes or so. But my main takeaway was like, I thought Harrison Ingram was going to have like 30 boards. Like, it was just insane. The way that man was, it was good to see too. Cause I feel like some of our earlier games, it's definitely an issue. Like Kentucky, like, I mean, it's how we lost, like weren't good on the boards. And then it's the same thing of every game. Like the team is just so resilient and they're able to make like shots in important moments when like, and like, don't get me wrong. Like, last year's team, like, stuff happens. Like, I don't have any ill will towards those guys, but it's like there are so many moments last year where it's like, all right, we're on the road. The crowd is getting like amped up. Like, we need a bucket. It doesn't have to be a three. We just need a bucket, and we couldn't get it. And they just like, I'll never forget going to the state game and Jarkel Joyner just literally getting like 9 points in a row, was it? And there was moments in this game where it was like, okay, like they could go on a run here and then just shut it down every time. And, yeah, it's just such a good feeling to see that. So, and then, yeah, Kado's speed, like, towards the end of the game was just so lethal. Like, there's just so many different weapons. Yeah, I don't know. It's such a versatile team. The way they're playing defense, really is. It's like, who is this? Like, it's I don't know. It's so exciting. Nah, it's crazy.
Yeah, how about you, JK? Did you add any to that or anything different?
Well, first off, I think that was a glimpse into what Kado will be by the end of conference play. I mean, let's just call it, like, that pass was one of the sickest passes I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just the physics to even make that pass work, like the trajectory of it, and to throw it two-handed is absolutely psychotic. Like, I don't know. I watch a jillion NBA games, a bunch of college hoops. Like, that is one of just flat out the best passes I've seen all year. So, I mean, I thought Elliot Kado was truly special in this game. Obviously, you know, Ingram, like, I usually wouldn't give one guy credit for this, but I feel comfortable saying that Ingram has single-handedly changed the physicality and identity of this team. Like, Henson mentioned it on the last pod, like, this is the first big, strong, physical wing that we've had with some skill in a while. And, you know, it's like every game I keep expecting what we've seen in the past, which is you play a sloppy, ugly, physical game, and I'm like, the old Carolina is going to come out. we lose these games all the time because we're not running, we're not scoring, it's not playing in our favor. But I almost don't even think this team's best when they're in those high scoring 80 to 75 games. I mean, this team is truthfully, and I'm not saying built different in terms of their talent. You know, this is not the most talented UNC team in the last 10 years or whatever. There's been plenty of them, but this team truly is built different in terms of how they play, how they win, the things that they do. Carolina basketball is back, but it's also way, way different now. And if this is what it's going to be, I feel a lot more comfortable about the future of the program moving forward, because the ability to play defense and win ugly games is something that even the national title teams, I'm not really so sure like they had. They just were kind of better than everyone and ran it up.
Yeah, I think it's something that's a great point. I mean, with being able to win these games ugly, you know, there's the narrative of like no great teams in college basketball this year. I feel like that happens every year and it's not really true. I don't know. I don't really think that's the case this year. I think Purdue, UConn, Arizona, UNC, Kentucky, I would say are probably the five best teams. And I'd say, I think like Houston, Duke, have a great chance to like move into that, the great tier that I would put them in. But when you look at how like the sport as a whole, like you do see more top teams losing on the road. You're seeing a more even playing field because of the transfer portal, because of NIL, a school like, I don't know, take Baylor for instance, that, you know, not a historic power, but they have plenty of funds to pump into the program. They're doing well in the NIL world. They're able to be nationally relevant year in, year out. And I think it's not going to be, even for Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, like those schools will continue to get pros. Yes. But I think like other schools are making up ground in the distribution of talent through the portal. And that's why it becomes important to like win these types of games where it turns into a defensive slogfest. And, you know, I think I said this on the last pod, definitely after the Pitt game, I can't say I'm going to be going and like watching full game highlights of this, cause it, you know, it wasn't exactly pretty, but, you know, we're looking at a 3-game sample size here where Carolina has figured it out defensively. And it reminds me a little bit of what happened when the Heels made the title game in 2022, where a flip switched about February, where they just started playing much more connected and good communication. I was so impressed, even in the minutes where Armando was on the bench yesterday, Jalen Washington, who's not the most physical guy, was just denying Burns the ball. Like he was fronting the post and they couldn't feed the big man. And I like, if you had asked me before the game, I would have said like, this is not a knock on Jalen Washington. I got to specify that because I'm not trying to hate on the kids, but like I would have thought DJ Burns is looking at Jalen Washington being like, yeah, this is food. This is an automatic 2 points. So like he was defending super well off the bench. And even beyond that, I think like, yeah, y'all hit on Cadeau and Ingram, which I thought were kind of the two player stories. I love this for Ingram that, you know, I think there's a pretty decent chance he's playing professionally next year. I think he's put himself in a good position to get drafted. So if this is his only game in PNC, I love that he like kind of had a, you know, didn't shoot the ball great, only had 9 points, but had like a legacy performance with 19 boards. Like that's special, especially as
Listen,
like a
most rebounds in the history of the series is crazy. At 6 foot
he
seven.
Had like 10 in like the first 10 Dude. Minutes. Like the pace was insane.
Like just think about kids that are, you know, that are young right now and say 10 years, they're starting to dig for like stats. And it's like, oh my God, this Harrison Ingram dude had 19. He must be like 7'2". And they're going to look and be like, nah.
He's 6'7" with shoes.
Like, come on, like he's, I don't know, man. Don't even get me started because I just, you know, feverishly, I'm thinking to myself, like, what if he does come back for one more year?
Hey, I see the vision. I see why it's enticing to think about that, but I just am like, we got to live in the moment because I legitimately think this is a top five team.
No, listen, but you brought it up, so I have to bring up two major qualms with the college basketball community right now. Number one, can we cut the shit of there's no dominant team this year? Dude, all just because a team loses one game, they're like, we act like guys are supposed to go undefeated, bro. The top like eight right now are all gonna finish with like seven or less losses. So like let's pipe it down a little bit about there's no, just because a team doesn't go 35-0 doesn't mean there's no dominant team. We still know who the best teams are. Second off, I saw this on Twitter. Elite content. Why is it that the ACC and is constantly getting slandered? Like, bro, they suck. Virginia Tech beat Clemson. Louisville beat Miami. But like UCF beats Kansas and TCU beats Oklahoma. And you know, the media is like, bro, there's never an easy night in the Big 12, bro. The Big 12's so tough. And it's like, dude, pick a side.
Did y'all see that tweet that was like, it's harder to win the Big 12 than NCAA tournament?
It's, yeah,
That is.
it's.
I was just like, I mean, like, I can see the rationale, but like, it's, you just can't say that.
Yeah,
Don't get me
like,
started, man. The way
I
the
don't
media picks and chooses
say
their
that about
conference darlings.
the ACC.
I've been toying with being a boomer and just going full anti-analytics this year, which I know, Neil, that's like your profession, so I'm sorry if that's offensive. I'm
No,
not,
you're
I like,
good.
I've tried to have a more balanced view of it, because I think, like, I say that, you know, somewhat tongue in cheek, because I still swear by KenPom on a lot of things. I love like the way his website is configured to where it's easy to navigate, easy to find like what kind of stats you're looking for. However, I will say it's like it does seem like there's a good amount of teams that have sort of figured out how to juice the metrics, and figure out his algorithm to where if you beat like a SWAC team or an NEC team by like 50, you're gonna shoot up in the metrics when, and in reality, I think if you're playing like NJIT or something, like, and you beat them by 50 as opposed to 25, I don't think that really makes much of a difference. Like, because teams are gonna let their foot off the gas, like they're. And when that happens, the other team can crawl back in it. You can cut a big deficit. So like that's why I think the Big 12 in particular, teams like Iowa State, I know, I'm pretty sure their coaching staff has gone on record and said they consider how to work the net with their scheduling, and it's worked for them the past 2 years. And I think, you know, Iowa State's a good team. They just knocked off Houston and they're really well coached and everything. Maybe we just need to like propagate that better and try to get like the ACC coaches on board to do something like that. I will
Dude,
say,
it's
like,
just, here's the bottom line. Clemson beat TCU. Never an easy night in the Big 12. Like,
okay,
bro,
that's a good point. Good point.
like, it's just, I just can't. It's just you know, we talk about this all the time. We roast Jeff and Rob all the time because, like, the media picks their conference darlings, and it's the Big 10 and the Big 12 year in and year out. First off, I mean, I get the Big 12 a little bit. It garners
I
respect,
don't
but,
get the
like,
Big Ten at all.
the Big 10 is jokes. Like,
Big Ten stinks.
it's so
Fraudulent.
bad. Like, oh my God. Like, don't
Not
even get
gonna
me
sit here
started.
and say that like I did not think Purdue was gonna lose that game in the tournament last year. Like, that was honestly ridiculous. But like the whole like Big Ten tournament, like I was just like, these guys, like they're just gonna lose early again. Like, I don't know what it is, but I mean, I don't think anyone expected it to happen to a team where I think Zach Edey has like 7 inches on like everyone, but I mean, it happened. Like,
It's, yeah, it's annoying. I know I just got us off on a tangent, but like
no, I think.
I get so tired of like the disrespect. Do I think the ACC is like the creme de la creme? No, they're not a great league, but treat all leagues the same 2024. That's my hashtag, and I'm sticking to it.
I think that's a great point, at least with the Purdue segue, like both of what y'all are saying. I mean, I know I would still classify them as a great team. I just think it's hard to win on the road. But that being said, like, I don't think it's any harder to win at Nebraska than it is to win at Clemson. I don't think it's any harder to win at Nebraska than it is at NC State. Like, and that's why I'm like, I truly am buying this UNC team as a top five unit that can win a national championship. Because we're seeing what's been, you know, sort of propelling this narrative that there are no great teams is all these top ranked teams, they are losing on the road. And what has Carolina not done is lose on the road. So,
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, it gets, this month is a little light, but when it comes February, like, UNC starts getting some of these wins, you know, I know they just lost to Louisville, but like at Miami, like there's a couple tough games in there. I almost feel like it's a little bit kind of just disrespectful to the people who are taking care of business. Like ACC's not great. UNC and Duke are both really, really good basketball teams. I think it's just that simple.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
Yeah, and you know, I want to stay on that just with this notion of being on the road, because I know, Neil, you mentioned being in the building last year when Jarkel Joyner went nuts. What is it like being in PNC for a UNC game, like from the fan experience? Because I've never seen Carolina play at PNC. I've been to NCAA tournament games in PNC, but I've never actually been to like an NC State game.
Yeah, those fans are definitely like committed. Like, I think the game was at 1 p.m. It was on a Sunday. It was at 1. And my friend had a student ticket for me. The line, like, I've never seen something like that. Like, I mean, I guess I have it. Actually, UNC, like, non-conference, and we were number one. That was ridiculous. But the line was literally, like, I mean, we were there for, like, 2.5 hours. And obviously, I went in undercover. Like, I had, like, green sweatpants and a gray hoodie. I was, like, and I still got spotted. I mean, the day before, actually, funny enough, we the Hurricanes had their stadium series game.
Oh, right, right.
The story's hilarious. I'm with, like, all my friends because the student section is, like, level with the ice. But so it's, like, you're at Carter Finley on the ground, basically. And so all the fans are above you. We go to use the bathroom, and I, like, I hear something, and then I hear Neil again, and I turn. just a section of State fans just like flipping me off. Like, I didn't know if I should be like, I was like, that's kind of cool, honestly, the fact that didn't even happen. So, but yeah, we go to the game, finally get inside. And yeah, I never had a good feeling. I mean, I don't even think we were favored that game. I mean, State was ranked, we weren't. And there was a point where, and I will say, like, you gotta give credit where credit's due. Like, I've been to playoff games, like, I'm a pretty big Canes fan. Like, we go up, I think, like 8 or something. And I think Mondo had, like, you know, layup. And I was like, all right, it's time. Just so stupid. I'm like, let's go. And the whole section just is like, oh, who is this kid? Like, they start booing me. And then Joyner just goes crazy. And actually, I have this video, I have to send it to y'all, but like, I'm just like, this, and everyone is just like pointing at me. I'm like, oh my god, it was so loud. Like, honestly, like, I think the players who were on that team last year and play now, like, that's definitely got to be a good experience, because it was just like, I mean, I don't know how you get any possessions off of there. Like, it was crazy. And then from like, once they took the lead, I was like, it's over. Long walk back to the car, you know, it sucked. NIT chance. It wasn't good. It was definitely like overall good experience. I mean, people weren't rude or anything. I think like the whole NC State fans are gonna kill you narrative is like stupid. It's just a bunch of students from Wake County. Like, you're gonna be fine. But
right.
It was definitely an experience for sure. That game sucked. That might have been the worst one I was at pretty much every home game, and I think losing to Pitt sucked a lot. That was where I was like, I don't know, dude. And then, yeah, an NC State game, that was – I was like, we're going to need to rattle off some wins here. So.
Yeah, and then it was gone in a moment. And, you know, I think you mentioned this when you were first talking about that NC State game where Carolina, I want to say, had some leads of either 6 to 8 points, somewhere in that range, and that home Pitt game as well. I think that was the one where UNC went up 6 or 7 in the second half and Pete Nance started flexing. Cause I was at that game when I saw Pete Nance flexing, like, Pete Nance had like the demeanor of like a Buddhist monk or something. That dude was so like calm on the court when he started flexing. I'm like, oh, we're winning this game by 20. And of course UNC lost. Like, it seemed like it was always an issue last season that Carolina couldn't extend the leads. And I want to say even there's probably a stretch of 3 or 4 games in a row. It seemed like Carolina would go up anywhere from 6 to 7 points in the second half and not be able to push it to double digits. They'd go up 9, wouldn't be able to get to 11, which I think is a bit of a, when an opponent sees that double digit deficit, I think it knocks the confidence a little bit, let teams back in. But this team is the exact opposite where, you know, it happened again last night in the game against State where it was big shot after big shot and critical moments. I mean, I know RJ Davis hit that 3 to go up 17, really end any hope. But I think there's another, I mean, that I know, JK, you referenced it, the pass to Armando that put Carolina up 11, I believe, from Cadeau.
Triple and 1-2 is huge.
That was another one. Yeah. I think that's maybe the most underrated part of this team so far is that they've had an answer, like this 5-game winning streak they're on, had an answer to every run that teams have kind of made to sort of cut into any lead.
Yeah, I think the toughness and physicality just kind of like plays into it because, God, I'm going to knock on one of my own teams right now. As a Celtics fan, I can speak to this. The Celtics have not won a title because the Celtics fold when they get gut punched. And that's exactly what North Carolina did last year. It's what they've done in years past. This year, like, their abs are flexed. They're eating the punch. And it's like, bet, let's go make a play. It's just such a different mindset this year, dude. And like, I just think it's because RJ's a bucket. Armando's just been there for so long that he's just ready. And then you got Ingram and Cormack who are just dogs. Trimble is just a dog. And then Cadeau, like, yeah, he's young. He's not even supposed to be playing right now. And he's like, I don't think he's a dog. Like, when you look at him, you're not like, oh my God, dude, I wouldn't want to mess with Elliot Cadeau. But like, he's got some stuff to him. Like he does. Like yeah. the little when he makes his little and ones, when he blows by people, gets fouled. Like he's got some stuff to him. So it's like this is the first UNC team where I don't panic. Like when a team does go on a run, I just don't panic because I'm like, these dudes actually thrive off of that. Like they want that. Like Harrison Ingram, he fiends for that type of energy. Like he wants it. He wants it the hard way. He wants the smoke. He doesn't care if a team goes on a 6-0 run. He's just going to be, he's going to get the guys together. It's just, I mean, gosh, we said it earlier, but I'm going to keep saying it. I mean, it just, it's such a different brand of Carolina basketball, but man, I love it.
Yeah, Neil, are you going to add anything to the clutch shot making or even the MO?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think y'all got to follow him too on Twitter. Andrew Weatherman, it might have been him who mentioned it, but UNC last year, like the, I think in terms, KenPom has some like luck metric or something. And they were like one of the worst teams. Like, and I felt like even if we were the same talent level, like, and same depth as this season, I feel like it would have had to regress in some way. Because I actually made a video at the end of that season where I think I recorded the end of like every quad one loss, and it was just insane how like we just did not have a single ounce of like luck or clutch gene or anything. Like, it's crazy. Like, if you had told me when we lost to Alabama in four overtimes that, like, if any shot goes our way that game, like, probably in the tournament. We're just, like, I don't know, just insane that Caleb Grill has, you know, a legacy game. And then I don't even know what he's up to now. He got, like, kicked off the team. Like, it's just, like, and then both Duke games being the same score and then us not scoring for the last 3 minutes of, like, both of those games. It's actually, like, that's the thing that, like, some people have asked me, like, you know, like if this team were to be good, like, would you have like any FOMO? And I'm like, honestly, no. And if I did, it wouldn't be because like we lost the Natty to Kansas. It'd honestly be because we didn't make the tournament last year. Just because like, it, I don't know. Like, I felt like that team wasn't like a typical team that misses the tournament where it's like, they just flat out suck. It's just like, it was, there were so many opportunities. And I think it's honestly a good thing because, like, Mondo and RJ are definitely, like, I don't know. Like, I can't even imagine that off season. Like, they just – that's – it had to be on their mind all the time, so.
I mean, look, I can tell you, you know, you graduated after the most disappointing year ever. Graduating after blowing that 15-point lead to Kansas was – one of the most detrimental experiences of my life. It was so bad. Like, because, you know, got to storm Franklin Street twice. And one, you know, the final four one just hit different. And then you're up at half by 15 and you're not saying anything out loud because you're like, all right, don't want to jinx it. Don't want to jinx it. But you're thinking to yourself, like, we're about to storm Franklin Street. And then the worst thing ever
happened. Have you rewatched that game? I don't know why I did. I did it for the first time. I think it might have been last winter break. And it just, like, it was exactly how I remembered it. Because funny enough, I didn't say it out loud, but I went to a watch party way closer to Franklin. So I was like, oh, we got this in the bag. Like, Natty's a chance.
And were then, you at like a bar, or was it someone's house or what?
Yeah, so I was at my friend's house off of like Ransom Street, so like a little further. And then I go to my friend's place on North Street. And then it just – it happened. I mean, obviously, there was levels of intoxication that contributed to this, but it happened so fast. I just remember, like, it was literally one moment, the game, like, we were up, and the next moment, we were losing by, like, three. And I was just like – no, there's no way. Like, and then
I did rewatch it for one reason and one reason only. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't hallucinating at Remy Martin turning into Ray Allen in the second half of that game.
Oh my gosh, I completely forgot. I have not rewatched that game. I don't plan on
well,
it.
Well, let me tell you, when I completely you go back and rewatch it, Martin. The luck stats that Neil was talking about, Remy Martin, I don't even want to know what the luck stats would be on his shots, but this dude, I've never seen anything like it. Like, I've never seen such a bad player go on such a generational heater. And I just...
One of those threes, he takes like 14 steps, not even lying. It was like the craziest thing ever. I remember watching that and I was like, nah, this is sickening.
Dude.
Hey, Remy Martin, 20 points against Creighton that tournament, 23 points against Providence that tournament. So it makes me feel like slightly better, but at the same time, I like completely forgot about that name. I've blocked out that second half, dude. I was in the Dean Dome for it, and I just remember, my wife and I both went to Carolina. We were on Franklin Street in 2017. My phone background is a photo of us from that night, and I vowed to never change it until we win another national title. Probably a little sickening because I have a kid now, and maybe you would think that would mature me a little bit, and I'd say, oh, maybe I want to look at my son every day. But no, I'm still thinking about 27.
Hey, nah, you can see your son in person. The background got to stay. it's just crazy, man.
At halftime, I was like, oh, I'm going to be changing my background tonight. It's finally happening.
Dude, well, I mean, it was just a mixture, bro. Like, I know Caleb Love had been generational in that tournament, but if we just get a subpar Caleb Love game, we win by like five. It was tough. But I mean,
it was so tough.
I still, at the same time, like, wouldn't trade that run for the world.
That right. It was such a fun ride, dude. It's so fun having your team in the Final Four. I really
it was majestic. I know, and we'll get to relive it again this year, so it'll be great.
Yeah. I'm going to get us back on track. I feel like we kind of covered the state game. Oh, well, no, Neil mentioned Seth. I don't know how much you've listened to our pod, but we end up just like singing Seth Trimble's praises on literally every podcast. And it's gotten to the point where I'm like, dude, he only played 14 minutes last night, but had 6 points. Like, every time he attacks the basket, I think something good is going to happen.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, it's insane. Also, while I'm talking, I'm going to switch my camera so I can charge my computer, but I'm going to keep talking. My camera's going to be off for a second. But Seth, like, the way – it's so funny because I've started going to the UNC Boston bar, and, like, we'll just be watching the game together, and Seth will just, like – I don't know, he just starts flying. Like, literally, he's, like – some of these layups, I'm like, is he trying to, like – go for the jam, and then, yeah, he'll just, like, end up on the ground, but it works in such a weird way. But I'm really loving his play. Like, him having, like, an offensive component to his game now is just, like, it's such a game changer. Like, it's huge.
Yeah, JK, what were you going to add about Seth?
I just can't, like, I can't get enough Seth Trimble minutes. I mean, it doesn't matter. He just seems... Every time he's on the court, it doesn't matter if it's for 10, 20, 15 minutes. He's just finding ways to impact the game. I mean, love the kid. He always plays hard. Insane athlete. I mean, I'm going to stick by this, but I genuinely do think he probably is. He's not the best, obviously, but I do think he might be the most important bench guy in the ACC, especially because, like, what is this bench without Seth Trimble? I mean, he brings all the energy. He does everything. I just, you know, he's just one of those guys. I mean, he's one of those guys that you're never going to – actually, next year you probably will, because he's going to have a much larger role. But you know, looking back at these first 2 years, you're not looking at it like, oh my God, dude, Seth Trimble's a freak. You're just looking at it like, this dude's going to be one of my favorite Tar Heels ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he's quite literally won us a couple of games this year. I mean,
yes.
He basically won us the Arkansas game. He sort of won us the Pitt game in his play in the first half. Like, so nice to it just seems like he doesn't really care if he scores either. You know, he's happy to just go lock up the best wing or best perimeter player on the other team and attack the basket and try to put someone through the hoop.
I also think he's going to be pivotal on Saturday. I know we probably won't do an in-depth preview, but mm-hmm. his ability to slash is going to kill that zone. Like, he's going to be – I was watching their game against Boston College last night just to kind of prep myself a little bit. And
are they playing zone? Like, I thought they were playing pretty much –
they're playing like a hybrid. Like, when I was watching them against Boston College, they were playing some sort of zone. I think it was a matchup zone, but Boston College was chucking threes the entire game. Like, it was, I don't know if they'll come out in that coverage against us.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's very, very, it's weird. I mean, I don't know. I think he's going to be able to cut them up though.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just looking at a box score from the Boston College game. They brought Judah Mintz off the bench. And I think, like, I don't know. I'm hoping that this game will jumpstart the UNC offense, which has sort of been in a slog recently. Syracuse is not great defensively, whether they're playing a matchup zone or man-to-man. And they have a lot of size on the perimeter, but this could be a big Armando game. Like, I don't think they really have anyone who can check him down low.
They don't. There's 6'7", 6'9" is pretty much their front court. So he has to eat.
It'll be nice being back at home too. It's been a minute. So
well, either if you be in attendance.
I won't be.
No, I won't be there. I'll be at the Boston College game actually next Saturday. I'm super excited for that.
You coming to any games in Chapel Hill this year, Neil?
Yeah. Probably, who do we play the weekend after Virginia Tech? Because I was going to take my younger sister to a game. It'd be nice to come back as well at some point. I think it might be Miami.
There's a Miami game that Monday. Yeah, yeah, cool.
Yeah, so probably that game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's wrap it up with a little bit of Four Corners, something we do at the very end of every show. We have like a segment where you have to choose basically four things, rank four things. Neil, people who follow you probably know that you kind of made a name for yourself with ranking establishments on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. So I want to get your top four, like, restaurants, top four places to eat in Chapel Hill.
All right. It's a good one. I'd say number one, I'll say my four and then maybe I'll rank them. I'd say, like, maybe not the best food, but just off of like vibes, like, number one's gotta be Four Corners. You know, like, that's, I don't know if y'all have seen, but my dad just goes now and he'll just send pictures of no context of the inside of Four Corners. And I'm just like, yeah, that's Four Corners. I don't know what you want me to say, but I'm glad you're there. It's definitely one of my favorite spots, to the point where actually I went back winter break and the waitress was just like, oh, where have you been for the last like 6 months? I was like, oh my God. I'd say two, I have to go Al's Burger Shack. I wish, like, definitely I have a gripe with the portion sizes. Like, I think the burger needs to be bigger for the amount of money you're paying, but it is, like, it's electric. It's so good. So that's definitely up there. And then three, this might be like I'm not sure how many people are familiar with this place, Pirate Captain. Have y'all been there?
Never been there. Walked by it plenty of times though.
Say some, they've got some elite ramen for sure.
Really? Okay, because I feel like there aren't many good ramen places around, like the Triangle in general.
Yeah, like that place, it's like legit too. Like I've gone. I think there was a point where me and one of my like good friends, after every home game, like, we made it kind of a tradition to hit Pirate Captain after. And the best is that, like, I feel like it's not like that well known of a place. So it was like you can't go to Four Corners pretty much after a game. Like it's packed. The Pirate Cafe can just be like pretty much empty. Like get a table, get your ramen in like a few minutes. It was so nice. And then four, this would be a tough one, but probably throw Buns up there. Like different from
Buns
Al's.
Are slept on. Yeah.
But Buns is very slept on. Massive portion sizes from Al's. And then I respect any restaurant too that like if your sauces, like if you have Chipotle mayo or something crazy like that, like you know ball. Like they like yeah, I'm always like experiencing something new there. So that's definitely that was a COVID staple because I lived in that COVID year I lived in like the union apartments they just built next to Lark.
Right.
And like Buns was right there and like it was criminally amount of money I'd spent there.
Hey, I got a crazy Buns theory. Whoever started that restaurant 100% used to work at Five Guys because those fries are literally oh my god, don't get me started, bro. Buns, it's elite. Like
Dragon sauce. I could like inject that straight into my blood stream. Dragon sauce is so good. I might have to get Buns next week.
Y'all are killing me now. Riley knows I'm I had my soccer game before this, and I'm starving. So I'm like, I need Buns right now. Would be crazy.
Honestly, there's just so many good food spots in Chapel Hill. Like when I wanted a cheap, convenient plate that tastes good, I would just always end up sliding to Hibachi and Co. every time.
Hibachi and Co. is pretty good. JK, what's your top four?
Oh my god. Four Corners, the vibes, and this is such a weird food item for me, but I love it. Their turkey burger is elite.
I would have never thought to get that.
Dude, I used to get the turkey burger all the time, bro, with the sweet potato fries.
You might be the only person who's ordered it.
Hey, I probably was. They have my order memorized because I ordered it twice, and they were like, this weirdo is the only person that's ever gotten a turkey burger here. So, obviously, Four Corners for vibes. I will put Hibachi and Co. in there just simply for like, bro, I'm not going to lie. It was like 3 days a week minimum because it was $7 for the freaking Hibachi chicken. Plus, you had the card. I would stamp it up, get my free plate eventually. For a little, I guess this one's a little bougier and not as realistic, but I love Top of the Hill, bro. That food slaps. Like, their food is so good.
I think a lot of people hate on Topo as well and say that the food isn't that good. Where
yeah,
I've always had a good experience there.
Same. And then four is Buns, 100%. I'm pro Buns over Al's. Like I just am. Wow. I just think Buns is elite.
Dang. I don't know if I can get there with Buns. I love it, but yeah, I have like a holy trinity of Med Deli, IP3, Al's. I think those three are indispensable. I know Med Deli. Hopefully they reopen soon. I know they had the fire, but yeah, that place is 10 out of 10 every single time. It doesn't miss. I love Med Deli. IP3, I think it's not just the pizza, which is great. It's the whole vibes of, you know, you always have the employees arguing in Italian. I know a guy named Vinny who works there now, who's the absolute man. And his name is Vinny, just like a classic Italian name. And like the environment is great. Love the memorabilia off the up on the wall. Also, very underrated spot to watch like an away game sometime. And then Al's I love, but I do agree with Neil. Portion sizes need to be bigger. I swear those burgers used to be bigger and they like shrunk the size somewhere along the way. Fourth, if I'm going like super bougie, I love Kipos. But I know I already kind of gave the Mediterranean shout out with Med Deli. So I don't know if it's probably between Kipos or Four Corners, like for all the same reasons y'all listed about Four Corners. So those would be my four.
Yeah. Y'all just reminded me too. Like I never really went to the Med Deli off campus, but the one in Lenore, I would go like, dude, it was bad. Senior year, I was there like every day. It was insane. They added this, I don't know if y'all have been to Alpaca, the Peruvian chicken. I didn't throw that on there because it's not Franklin, but that would be my honorable mention since there's one really close. That place is insane.
Like, I do love
that. That's the thing I probably miss. Somehow, that's what I miss the most. It's like every time I go back to North Carolina, I'm like, I need Alpaca. It's so good.
Last food take, unfortunate food take. Love Chipotle. Chipotle on Franklin Street might be the worst Chipotle of all time.
It's a really bad Chipotle.
It's terrible. Yeah, I would always just drive to the one in Durham because I just can't. Like, that Chipotle is so, so bad.
The one by Trader Joe's is pretty good in Chapel Hill. That other one. There's like a Steak Shack. Or what's that? Shake Shack. That's over there now, too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, God, dude. You can miss me with that line.
I would always just feel bad for the people working there. Like, I remember I tried to get an order. It was like, I forgot who you played that day. Oh, it was the Coach K's last home game. I tried to go like an hour before, and I was in line for like 30 minutes. And I was just like, whatever student is working right now, like, look, like, you got to get a better job. Like, this is just not worth it at all. You know, people yelling at you, like, the extra rice, extra this, you know, like, and then it just sucks. It's definitely a terrible place to work at. I've had friends work there, and yeah, they hated it. So,
not enough money in the world.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, all these places we mentioned stay open. I know it's like high rent on Franklin Street, and yeah, that's part of what keeps Chapel Hill special. Though, is there's not too many chains, although unfortunately it's increased in recent years. But yeah, that's what we're hoping to see, kind of, as we having some good eats as we watch our good basketball team that's going to be back in the top five this upcoming Monday, assuming a win on Saturday. Don't want to jinx it. But anyway, I'm Riley Davis, joined again by Jacob Karabatsis and Neil Pierre Louis on our first guest appearance on our show. That's it for this time.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save.